to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. Today, I tell you what, I want you to listen to something for me and see if you can figure out what it is, and I'll get right back with you. Thanks. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about the bad recording. It's kind of cut up, but if you said MacGyver theme, you're right. I got a chance to talk to the modern-day MacGyver, Johnny Fetz, propeller repair specialist. Great guy. If you get a chance to talk to him, gosh, he will explain how to fix a propeller. You can send them to him. A very nice guy to talk to. We talked about a little bit of everything, and for the short period of time that I talked to him, you will understand why he is called MacGyver by his neighbors. So sit back and relax, and you will enjoy, because I probably could have talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. It amazes me when you meet somebody and you just want to sit there and just pick their brain apart about PPGN, you know. Let's just, and Johnny has a lot of knowledge about flying, and so sit back and relax and hope you enjoy, like I did talking to him. In the MacGyver theme, I would like to start the MacGyver Minutes, and basically the MacGyver Minutes won't be every episode, but if I find something or locate a product that somebody is actually building, and if you are actually MacGyvering, I guess that's a word, building something that is like a MacGyver moment that makes your life easy and would probably make all of our lives easier, and PPG, and just a little gadget or whatever like that. Anything that you think is really cool that you kind of developed, get in touch with me. Let's talk about it. And you never know, it might put some change in your pocket, or you might just want to show the guys and let them, you know, try to build it themselves if it's something you're not necessarily producing. So one other thing, I'd like to thank Andy and Matt for the shout out. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the words of encouragement and being able to listen to you guys go back and forth and bounce information off is great. I love that. Being one person sitting in a basement talking into a computer, wondering if anybody's out there listening. So I thank y'all very much. I promise you guys, I did not email you. I was not one of the thousands of people that emailed you guys. So, but I was wondering where y'all went to. Don't get me wrong. So enjoy the AZ breakdown. That was great being on the East Coast here, and Paratoys and AZ being one of the biggest, if not not the, well, actually the biggest fly-ins that we, I would say that we have. Getting information is you starve for it, you beg for it, especially if you're into the in a sport. It sounds like that most people are that I have talked to. So thanks a lot, guys. If you like to listen to those guys, they have some great just conversations. They call it babble, but it's great conversations about power paragliding, just like sitting around at a fly-in and just telling stories. My fish is bigger than your fish. You ain't gonna believe this. And usually when something starts off like that, you know it's got to be good. So it's pretty cool. And go to skyratsradio.com and just sit back and listen to those guys. I'm sure we all do. I do. Well, that's all I got. I'm babbling. Thank y'all. And sorry it took me a minute to get this out, man. Life is... juggling life is crazy, so... thank you all very much. Bye.
All right, on the line with me is Johnny Fetz. A lot of you guys may have heard this name before, Mr. Repairman. His neighbors call him MacGyver. So we're going to sit here and talk to Johnny about a few things and sit back and relax. Johnny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you today?
Oh, fine. It's sunny Lake Havasu, where it's about 75 degrees today.
Oh, God.
Another tough day in winter.
Thanks a lot. Just rub it in. It's 30-something today here in Louisville. Great.
I'm sorry. We don't. Well, snow is a four-letter word.
Is there? That's great. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for giving me some time here. How are you doing?
There's a lot of people been sending me propellers of all different kinds, wood props, composite props. And as many people out there might know, my avocation now is repairing propellers. It's a lot cheaper than buying a new one. Yeah. And how I got into that was a little bit of history.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I started paragliding, Dave Bears, who probably new people don't know, but Dave was the premier propeller manufacturer in the United States before Mike Hay. I kept Dave's mother in college for a year. I went through about 10 propellers in a year.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And Dave finally said to me, well, why don't you fix them? I said, they're repairable. Because I'm an A&P mechanic, and normally you don't repair an aircraft propeller. But then again, we don't fly aircraft.
Right.
So with a little bit of coaching from Dave, he kind of told me how to start doing some minor fixes and stuff. And my little, as a girl that works for me on my video business, says, you are MacGyver. I figured, well, if little repairs work, why not big repairs?
Yeah.
So I proceeded to take some of my broken props. I've had fresh breeze props with, about 20% of the blade missing off the tip. I solved that problem. I took the good tip and made a mold of it. And then I'd lay the fiberglass up in the mold and then blend the two together and make it strong enough and then test run it and make sure that it was going to hang together. Found out that, yes, you can repair what people would consider, oh, my God, that's too much missing. Like on the Yahoo propeller repair page, if you'll notice, my hand is pointing to a prop that it's a wooden prop, and
yes,
about 30% of the blade is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And the repair is a translucent fiberglass repair that you can see through. So you can see what the wood looks like, the shard wood inside of it. Wood is a lot easier to fix than composite.
Composite props, yeah.
With wood, you have something to build up to and strong enough to hold it. And you can do a lot of sanding and laying the glass up and blending them together.
So it was just a, a test that I guess that first one was just you were just testing to see if you could actually do it or whatever like that. That's pretty cool. I'm sure
started,
most people just kind of toss them.
It started off with minor little, you know, 25-cent piece missing off of a leading edge or something where a nut from a fresh breeze hit it, exhaust nut. And that was super glue and baking soda originally what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
Still a fine repair.
Yeah. That's tough. That stuff is tough to stand, isn't it, once it sets up, super glue and baking soda? Is that a real tough stand?
Well, you don't. When I was at the fly-ins originally, when I first started repairing props out there, and still, I used a hand file instead of sandpaper.
Yeah.
So I could fix it. A guy would bring me a prop, and 30 minutes later, I'd have his prop back to him ready to fly.
Okay.
And, again, still minor repairs at fly-ins are a lot of fun to do. It's that the expression on a guy's face when he comes back and he goes, "Oh my God, it's done! Look, oh, I don't have to go home."
Yeah.
You know, and it saved his day.
Yeah.
One fellow at the Bubba Peters fly-in last year up in Colorado at 9,200 feet.
Jeez.
The fellow was flying an exciter, Fresh Breeze exciter.
Yeah.
And on his first landing, he dinged the three-bladed prop quite badly.
Oh, wow.
And he was told by everybody, Eric DeFore and, you know, Sarah and Chris Bowles, "Oh no, you can't fix these props. They come in match sets. They must be kept, you know, it's very difficult." And Bubba says, "Go see John." And within an hour, I had him up flying in the air again.
Oh, wow. Did he take the tips of them, or how did
pardon
he,
me?
Did he take the tips of them, or just...
Well, he took the tip. He took the one tip. One small tip had just a little chunk missing. That was easy. A scoop of glue and baking soda. And I don't carry an extensive repair kit with me. In other words, I always don't have what I need.
Yeah.
But what his would have needed to really do a super job on it would be some quick epoxy, but I didn't have any. So I improvised with some super glue and baking soda by putting the baking soda into the composite repair, pressing it together, and then using a hypodermic needle to inject the super glue into it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For the people who don't know, what super glue and baking soda does, it makes a chemical bond.
Right.
And it becomes a rock-hard plastic instantaneously.
Yeah.
The super glue by itself has no inherent strength. It'll hold your fingers together because there's no airspace between them.
Yeah.
But it won't hold, you can't glue two pieces of wood together because they don't contact close enough. So when you put baking soda in first and then you introduce the super glue actually chemically bonds, and there's quite a bit of heat developed. Now you can actually burn your finger if the chunk is large enough. And it chemically bonds the two surfaces together, and the little pieces of baking soda give it the filler to occupy the space between the two broken surfaces.
In my radio control days, we use like microbloom, basically the same thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Microblooms will fill the space, but they don't have a chemical reaction.
Oh no! Okay, all right.
You take a teaspoon of a quarter teaspoon of baking soda.
Yeah.
And put a large amount of super glue on it, and it'll smoke.
Right. Okay.
And don't inhale the smoke.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
You
okay.
You can use it to get fingerprints off glasses, like in the CSI.
Oh, I know it's you. I got your fingerprints.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the way I started repairing props, and then I finally decided I would help the world out, and I made a DVD on how to do field repairs to wooden propellers.
Yeah.
And it's two DVDs. It runs about 3 hours or so of instruction. And it's not a studio production. It's just a camera set up and me standing there talking about what we're doing in real time. Comes to sanding or something, I would sand for just 30 seconds or so and then shut the camera off and say, "Okay, come back and say, now I sanded that for 5 minutes." So you don't have to watch me sand over and over and over.
A lot of sanding.
Yeah, pretty good.
A lot of sanding.
Yeah, and belt sanders and vibrating sanders do a wonderful job of making it easier. And then I made a DVD on how to build your own propeller, which I do for my own personal use.
You don't sell?
Take any propeller, make a mold of it, a fiberglass mold of it, and then lay up the glass and epoxy resin in the mold with an intricate process. It's time-consuming. It takes, you're probably looking at 5-6 hours work to build a propeller.
Oh, wow.
Out of composite. But they do come out good, and they fly, and people have asked me, why don't you sell them? And they really don't look beautiful.
Mm.
They don't have that finished look that the Ma propellers and the Fresh Breeze
Yeah, I think most people, I was saying most people don't realize that those propellers are pressed and vacuumed to get that beautiful look at them. So, yeah, I don't know if
And they're made of carbon fiber.
Fiber, yeah.
Instead of fiberglass. But my props work, and I've been flying them for about 4 or 5 years now, just
do you,
in the air.
Being that they're fiberglass, do you get the same stiffness and stuff? I know that's the big thing about carbon fiber. I know they say, they're really stiff, but they're supposed to be light. Do you still, as far as stiffness, they similar or close to, or?
Exactly. I could make the prop as stiff as you want by adding, it's like building a boat. Fiberglass and carbon fiber, as far as building a propeller, work about the same. I realize somebody will get up there and say, I manufacture carbon fiber props and they're much lighter and better. But you have to remember that our engines use the prop as a flywheel.
Right.
If you make it too light, it tends not to run smooth. Not that I'm saying that they're heavy. They tend to weigh about maybe 3 ounces more than a wooden prop of the same original wood.
Okay. That's not really that bad. I mean, that's not...
No. And you're talking about 2 pounds, 9 ounces compared to 3 pounds.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range. So it's not really that bad. The fiberglass prop will break. I made a tremendous error one day. I was at the Flying Circus several years ago, and I had a Fresh Breeze high-mounted gas tank.
Yes.
And the frame was my own frame that I made, and there was no kick bar at the bottom.
That you made? Really?
Yeah, I make my own frames.
Oh, wow. Okay, MacGyver, go ahead.
Yeah, at the bottom where you normally have a gas tank, I just forgot to put in a crossbar. So I was trying a no-wind takeoff, and it was real sloppy, and I ran crooked and fell at full power, and my foot went back into the propeller.
Oh, wow.
And that was, I said, too. Oh, wow. So it hit my shoe and didn't hurt my foot, but the guy got a photograph of the prop piece going 20 feet up in the air.
Oh.
So that they will break, the same as a wooden prop or anything else. And even the repaired props that I do, my repairs now, generally, I will use a urethane resin to fill in the missing wood.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then I cover the prop, I sand it to shape, and then I cover the prop with a layer of fiberglass on both sides.
Yeah.
So in effect, what you have is a wooden core with a fiberglass shell on the outside.
What weight is that?
Better. Pardon me?
What weight fiberglass you use on that first one?
It's very light.
Yeah, light. Well, okay. All right.
I use several different shirt weight materials.
Okay.
I'll just describe it as what your shirt would be like.
Uh-huh.
If the prop has a really bad split, if it's split from the tip to the hub but not into the hub, I use a fairly heavy glass cloth. If it's a real light trailing edge break where he's lost a strip of trailing edge 12 to 13 inches long, I use a very light layer of cloth because on the trailing edge there's no stress and strain like there is through the center of the prop.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay, there's more.
Yeah, in other words, It's just like when your wing is flying, the A lines are very tight.
Tight, right? Okay.
But your D lines are just almost hanging loose.
Yeah.
They're very light pressure on them because your center of lift is between the A's and the B's generally, and the propeller works the same way.
Okay.
The center, the mass of the prop, is where the lift is.
Where the lift is. Okay. Yeah.
And the trailing edge is there just to smooth out the airflow going behind it.
Is there a...
And I always tell everybody, if you break a prop, send it to me, but call Mike Hay up and order a new prop from him.
Yeah.
The cure for having a broken propeller is to have two of them with you.
Yes.
It seems if you have a backup, you never break
your
prop.
I don't know. It's like I was saying, that Mike Hay prop, man, you're talking about a work of art. Gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on the wall.
My wife said, I got a Mike Hay prop. My wife said, that you're not going to fly that. That's going on the wall.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah, the man truly is. He builds his props of the same quality Dave Bears was building his.
Oh.
And let's see, what else?
Do you actually have, like, molds of all of them, or do you, I mean, are you...
I have about 20 different molds of different propellers.
Wow.
And... for example, a fellow from Texas just sent me a prop that he cut about 3 inches off, an inch and a half off each side because it got dinged, so he could fly it. Now it revs up a little too much. So
he cut it himself?
Pardon me?
He cut them himself?
Well, yeah, it was a wooden prop.
Okay.
And he hit the cage and chewed up one end, so he cut an inch and a half off. Took an inch and a half, then naturally had to take an inch and a half off the other side to keep it in balance, and continued to fly for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
But then he sent, it was over revving. He was winding up too much. So he sent me the prop, and obviously I don't know what the tips look like. So I just took a tip that looks pretty, a mold, and remolded a new tip on there in fiberglass.
Oh, okay.
And
now, do you have to take... when you say, okay, you just did the tip, now do you have to take the glass all the way down to the hub, or is there a certain length that you actually have to take that fiberglass down to, you know?
Oh, if it's a if I'm repairing a composite prop, like a Fresh Breeze prop.
Yes.
First of all, if it's a leading edge split or a trailing edge split or both, if the prop becomes delaminated where it's kind of like Donald Duck's beak.
Right.
That can be fixed no matter how far it splits.
Okay.
On the trailing edge or the leading edge. But if you hit the prop and you break it from the leading edge to the trailing edge across the center, across the blade,
right.
I generally don't like to repair more than eight inches from the tip.
Oh.
In other words, when you reach the writing on the back, which is Fresh Breeze.
Right.
It's send it to me and I'll look at it and see, but it's marginal if it can be repaired. It's the leverage becomes too strong the closer you get to the hub.
Oh,
at the tip, your leverage is less.
Yeah.
You know, the push. And the way to repair a composite like that is I take a Dremel tool and I take off the gel coat about an inch into the good part of the prop. And if the tip is still there, then I'm just fixing a crack that goes from leading edge to trailing edge, say at the 6-inch mark.
Yeah.
I take the gel coat off on either side of the crack down to the fibers, but not cutting the fibers. Then I take glass and epoxy and lay it up into that, put it in a compression, make a compression mold to hold it in place.
Okay.
Then when it dries, I'll sand it down and then put another layer of glass on and sand it down again so that it kind of disappears. Generally, you're going to have a little bit of a hump, about a 64th of an inch or less, because I can't sand perfectly flat because what you're filled in is gel coat, and that wouldn't be strong enough to hold it.
Okay.
So when you run your fingers over it, you'll feel, usually a repair like that, you'll feel a little tiny bump. You know, but it doesn't
cause any problems or anything.
When it's spinning, you can't see it from my house.
There you go. Don't see a thing. Perfect. There you go.
And naturally, all the props are balanced before they leave.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that I've done, Well, first of all, my aviation background we mentioned the other day is I have 13,000 hours of flying time
at
the airline transport. I have an ATP, airline transport pilot's rating. And I'm a glider instructor for hard gliders.
Yeah.
I have an A&P mechanics license. And my wife has an A&P mechanics license.
Oh, cool.
I had a chance to go to school for a year, and I said, well, why don't you go to school, too? And she said, I don't know anything about mechanics. I said, you will at the end of the year.
That's great.
So,
Did she enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Did she? Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it was fun. There was three other girls in the class, so she wasn't all alone. But that was good. But some of the things I built my own trike buggy, like Chad Bastian's. We have a Skype thing on Chad's site that you may have listened to, or people should.
Yeah, so it's on GCast.
History.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
It's on GCast. I think.
Yeah.
Either
way, it's GCast or the other one.
Yeah.
There's two different formats there.
Okay.
He sat down in my backyard and was designing his trike buggy to fly. He was here for a weekend.
Yeah.
And how he put it together, and then I said, hey, that looks neat. I would like one of those. You know, but being a poor soul, I said, let me show you my junkyard. So we went down to my local metal yard here in town, and there lies a pile of stainless steel boat railings, the right diameter, and I scooped them up, and they were all pre-bent, and the longest piece was maybe 2 feet long, and brought it home and laid it next to his trike and laid the pieces together, took out my Mickey Mouse welder, welded the pieces together, and within an hour and a half, I had the semblance of a trike buggy.
Oh my gosh.
Sitting on the ground. Chad goes, that's amazing.
No doubt.
And that was like 3 years ago, and I'm still flying it.
That is
so
good.
It worked.
With the MacGyver, with the MacGyver theme song in the background. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's great.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Laziness is the father.
There you go.
I've also built a Delta trike that flies with a hang glider.
Yeah.
Hang glider wing.
That looks so cool. That was on Trike Buggy's website.
There's a link to it.
That is so cool.
And that was interesting in the fact that, I being a pilot, everything, you move the stick left and right to go left and right. You move it fore and aft to go down and up. So I, for my local instructor here, I took an hour and 45 minutes of dual in his Delta wing. And he did say, he says, John, you really caught on faster than anybody I've ever flown with. Let's take some more lessons. And I figured, what the heck. I went out to El Mirage with my Delta trike that I built. And in the first flight, which is on film, I was the student pilot, test pilot, engineer, builder,
no doubt,
and crash dummy all in one. So I proceeded to taxi this thing up and down El Mirage, which is a gigantically flat, beautiful lake that you don't have to worry about where you land, what you stand clear of. It's miles of openness, perfect
level.
That is
too cool.
So I did some high-speed taxi tests, and I figured, okay, I'm ready. So I added power, and I figured if I lift off the ground and it's not stable, I'll kill the power and slide to a stop straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I lifted off the ground, and sure enough, everything was stable. And
that
I
was the first
time? Climb,
but, yeah.
Climb, and then I realized I was going straight ahead, and I said, okay, John, it's time to make a turn. Let's do this very carefully. Let's not screw the pooch up here.
Yeah.
And I made my turn and gained some more. I got up to about 500 feet or so. And the feeling was exactly the same as 50 years ago when I soloed for the first time. It was like, oh, my God, I'm up here all alone, and I don't really know what I'm doing with this thing. Like the first solo flight. In a real plane, you're up there and you say, oh, my God, there's no instructor here with me. And I brought it around. I flew for about 45 minutes and then brought it around to land, lined it up with the lake bed, which is just wide open, brought it down to within 3 feet of the ground, and all of a sudden, it floated in ground effect. I didn't think about that. The thing a pilot normally does when you're floating in ground effect is you pull the stick back to reduce your airspeed.
Right.
Well, in a delta, you pull your stick back, and whack, you go right into the ground.
Oh.
So the nose wheel broke off.
That was the crash dummy part?
That was the crash dummy part. So there I sat in the middle of the lake. You know, it just came, slid to a stop. The lake was perfect. It absorbed the energy right the way it was supposed to, instead of concrete or something, or sand. And I slid to a stop and said, oh, boy, that was exciting.
Oh, my gosh.
And the weld was kind of poor, too.
Yeah.
And I've since repaired that, and I flew it at the Salton Sea when I was out there. I had a couple of flights.
That was the first flight and everything. Oh, wow.
On Chad's side, that was the very first flight.
Oh, wow.
That was my very first, and my very first solo. So I made me test pilot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Nerves of steel.
Years old.
Nerves of steel. My gosh.
Well, let me look it up. I've got Skype right here. My friend in North Carolina, he sends a Ross Kennedy. The point of life is not to get to the end of it in a well-preserved state, but rather skid in sideways into the area.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Yeah, the point of life is not to get to the end in a well-preserved state, but rather to skid in sideways and screech to a halt.
That's great. I like that.
Go.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So anything else you want to know?
Oh, you said you went to the Salton Sea. How was it? You see,
Sea was really good this year.
Yeah.
Not that it's bad any year, but the weather, the flying conditions are absolutely perfect.
I've been wanting to go. I'm going to try to get there next year. The last seven.
Well, it's truly worth it. It's any pilot's worth going to. You're going to meet everybody and anybody that flies. The carnage was tremendous. I probably fixed eight propellers while I was there. But people are out in the sand just having fun, you know, and they'll trip and fall and break a prop or slide in and break one or something.
What do you think
like
about
that.
The new site?
It's good.
Yeah.
The people, the snowbirds who live there, with their trailers.
Yes.
They said, how soon are you people leaving?
Oh, okay. It's starting to get old, huh?
After about three days of being up at the crack of dawn, 6 o'clock, at the first person taking off with the rooster crow, how long are you people going to stay here? When are you going to leave?
Oh, wow.
But the owners and managers, you know, probably made a good nickel off us being there
because
they didn't give anything away. It was $10 a night, I think it was, or maybe more.
See, I talked to
tent camping. I think it was $20.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Yeah, I talked to Mike and Michelle Robinson, the new owners there, and they were saying that it was after everybody kind of got used to it, they started to like it.
The facility is great. The parking the RVs on the RV space is where they had electrical hookups and everything.
Yeah.
Most people rode their trikes to and from. They had trains set up to carry these wagons with big wheels on them.
Oh, okay.
They would have eight or ten wagons behind a quad runner and pick you up and take your equipment out to the flying field.
Oh,
you
know, that's cool. Oh, so it is that far away to the to LZ from where the camping and stuff is. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that far away.
The motorhome campgrounds was probably two blocks.
Okay.
Two city blocks.
Yeah.
And they just ran these shuttles back and forth all day, hauling people back and forth.
Yeah.
Most people had their own quads or something to get there with. The trike owners or quad owners would just stack all the stuff on it and either push it or start the motor and drive it.
Wow.
The tent camping was right on the beach, so that was convenient.
Yeah.
We were right there where we needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could tent camp on grass if you wanted to in the RV place. They had showers and a banquet hall and stuff like that. That was very good. the dinner was decent.
Overall, was good.
Good flying.
Yeah, overall, it seems that listening to some of the people talk on the who was talking about it? I can't remember. This is when I was talking to Mike and Michelle, which of course owns Paratoys now. They were saying how nice it was, and of course I asked them if they were going to have it next year, and they were like, "Oh yeah, really enthused." And did Bob look relaxed since he wasn't really?
Bob was truly beyond himself.
He was not
the same Bob he's always been.
Yeah,
he was just like, oh, I don't have to worry about
this.
I'll just be here to help out.
That's great.
He was doing some teaching and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of vendors there with a lot of equipment.
There was a multitude of different
aircraft. There were amphibious trikes, some PPCs.
Yeah.
None of the amphibious trikes, none of them landed on the water. The water is just too yucky to...
Is it really? Is it really?
Yeah,
oh,
you don't want to swim in the Salton Sea.
No, okay, it's a
not
visual
not
thing. Okay.
It's like I'm from New York City. It's like let's go swimming in the East River. No,
not. There you go.
The Hudson River's okay. You know, Chesney sat down in the Hudson. That was okay. His people didn't have to get wet. They just walked out on the wing.
That was amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
And so that about sums it up.
Yeah.
Unless you can think of something else.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, what do you think about ratings? You know, that was a big topic that on the PP... big list or whatever like that. And I actually got a chance to because Britton Shaw's having
I'm for it and I'm against it.
You are.
It would be... There's nothing wrong with having a rating.
Uh-huh.
I've got a P2 and in training for a P3 someday.
Yeah.
For free flight. There's no reason not to get a PPG rating if you happen to be someplace where you can get it. But generally, we don't need a rating to fly.
Right.
We just go out to an empty field and take off.
Yeah.
if you take something like Mike Britz, and it's a great idea. He has the endless foot drag fly-in.
Britton Shaw, yeah.
If you go there and you sign up for it, you can... You will get a rating while you're there.
Yeah.
And that's a good idea. In other words, let's have a rating fly-in. You spend 2 days or so working on the rating, and then they give you the piece of paper, and you've got a little piece of paper that says, hey, I'm a PPG too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whichever.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, because that was such a big conversation on why this, and I don't, you know, I disagree, and I'm like you. I say I don't see where there's, you know, it's not a bad thing. I mean,
If you can get it, if you can get it at your convenience, fine. At the advantage of our ultralight, our sport in flying Part 103, is we don't have to have a rating,
right?
If I go to, even with all my experience, if I go to building my next trike, which would be a Delta experimental amateur built.
Yeah.
In other words, EAB.
Bigger motor.
It's a bigger motor, and it'll weigh more than 254 pounds.
Yes.
I can fly it solo right now. I can just get in it and fly it because I have a pilot's license.
Yes.
But for me to carry a passenger, I have to get a type rating in that vehicle.
N number, all that stuff.
Well, the aircraft can be N numbered. That's not so difficult. But to fly anything over 254, you have to be a minimum of a sport pilot,
right? Okay.
To carry a passenger,
right?
To fly it solo, you could probably, and I'm don't quote me on this, but you could probably fly it on a solo permit, getting it renewed every 6 months.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
but you generally you're gonna have to take the test. The advantage to our vehicles is that we can just go out and follow the one page of rules and fly and do what we want to do.
We covered a lot of stuff there. So, tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and give information where people can get in touch with you about your props and everything.
Okay. They can. Anytime I make a posting, anytime I make a posting on the Internet, I put down my name, address, and phone number, and I also put down the HTTP groups, yahoo.com group, Propeller Repair, all one word. And so if you go to any group and scratch out Big List, for example, just back to the word /group and type in Propeller Repair, it'll bring up the my page. You can join the Propeller Repair group and call me at 928-680-4994. Again, 928-680-4994, or Skype me for John FETZ.
Sorry about that. Nobody can call now. It was him calling back.
I have no
It's like, hang on it.
Doesn't bother me.
I was like, what the heck? Come on, people. I'm trying to talk here. All right. Your DVDs, how much they cost? Are you still making them, your prop repair DVDs?
I'd have to look it up even. It's been a long time since anybody's purchased any.
It really
has slowed down. It's just so that people are sending me the props instead of trying to fix them. The three disc set on how to repair is how to build a prop is $35. The original DVDs are still available $35, and if you order both sets, five DVDs, it's $65, and that includes shipping.
Right, great.
And if you need it. A netting for your motor. I sell nets for $50, and that they look on the photo section of the Propeller Repair site. They can see what they look like.
Okay. Well, great. Great information. And thank you for telling me about para toys and a little bit of everything there.
And, hope to see you out here sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm making plans to try to at least get out to the next. The next pair of toys, maybe even the Flying Circus. Did you even make the Flying Circus this year?
I had to work.
You had to work, okay. Yeah.
But they're going to move them a little. They've gotten together, Mo Sheldon and the new owners are amicable. Mo and Bob were not the best of friends, so they're going to try and coordinate their production next year so that there's one weekend, a couple of days in between to fly the sand dunes, and then the second weekend would be the circus, so people could go to the sea, fly the dunes, and then on their way home stop and do the circus.
Have you done Glamis, those dunes?
Yeah, it's really a gorgeous place down there.
Wow. It sounds like it. The videos and stuff I've seen, it looks really cool. Really cool.
Well, Lake Havasu is not a bad place to fly either. You see a lot of good looking scenery on the beach.
Listen to you. Listen to you. All right.
I've flown by and been flashed a couple of times.
Oh my gosh! Listen to you. See, I'm going to John Black's got that Panama Beach City Flying coming up. Cannot
You'll
wait.
You'll enjoy that too.
I cannot wait. I've already got the time to get off work today and I just can't wait. It's so cold here, and it's like winter wonderland. So it's a matter of time. So that's great.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye now. Bye.
Well, there you go, guys. Johnny Fetz. I would like to thank him at this time for coming on to Talking PPG Radio. Lots of information there. If you need more information on how to get in touch with him, go to Yahoo Groups and put in Propeller Repair. All the information you need to get in touch with him is right there on the homepage. Or just give him a call and he will talk to you and tell you what you need to know. A great guy. One of the people I would love to meet one day on my To Meet PPG list. Pine Island Fly-In is coming up. March 27th, 29th, and ended up talking to Paul Zarnicki, planetppg.com, and I've been trying to meet up with him for the last several weeks. Crazy schedule. He actually went to Eric DeFore's competition clinic, and we actually got a chance to talk about that later on, and you will hear that podcast in a couple of weeks. But I did get a chance to talk to him about the upcoming fly-in, and just sit back, relax, and thank you very much.
All right, on the line with me from planetppg.com, I have Paul Zarnicki. Did I say that right, Paul?
That's correct.
All right. Hey, man, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. I wanted to, I kind of threw you an email to get in touch with you. I know you got a fly-in coming up March 27th and the 29th down at Pine Island. And I'm just trying to get some information. And I tell you what, I don't know how many people actually know you, or they probably have heard of Planet PPG. If you can give some information on yourself for the listeners, it'd be great, man.
Sure. Well, just to let everybody know, the first year or two of operation, I was YouCanFly2.com, and recently changed the name to PlanetPPG.com. We're based out of Pine Island Airport in Florida near Fort Myers. For those that are going to be flying in, it's the RSW, or Regional Southwest Florida Airport. And we host four fly-ins per year at the airport. The next one is 27 March through 29 March, just like you said. And we're also going to be having some of the competitions there, which will be new for us, and because we just did the competition clinic with Eric DeFore and Michelle Carnett over there at Paratour, we're going to add some fun to the event, where we'll have some scheduled events instead of just our usual cross-country flights to the islands and things like that. $30 to sign up. All pilots have to pay $30 to Pine Island Airport, to Wayne Reed, the owner. And then if you want to camp, it's $20. If you have an RV or something like that, then it's a little extra, because then you can get power and water.
If you are looking for more information on his fly-in, guys, just go to planetppg.com, and right on the homepage there you will see where just below his picture, fly-in 27th March through the 29th. A couple of things that you might want to know about it is you definitely have to have a radio. I do believe it said that on the, if I was reading it correctly, is that correct?
Yes, we really prefer everybody to have a radio. It is an active airport. We will have FRS, GMRS radios there, use, as well as airbands, so, or a two meter. So we'll have a safety system so that somebody is in a little control tower, as well as the field safety. If you have any one of those radios, you're going to be okay. We most folks usually have the FRS radio, and the tower guy will have all three radios there, so that if there's any cross communication or warning, or if the runway closes down, because we do have fixed wing aircraft that come in every now and then. The Low and Slow Club out of Charlotte County Airport will be there, as well as we'll have a number of powered parachutes that also are more than able to use the runway. It's a 2,700-foot runway, and we expect quite a few people to come.
Okay. You said you had some cross countries. You got some activities that you actually there from the competition clinic you just visited. And are there other things for people to actually check out? I see on you have a lot of information on your website. If you guys definitely want to go out and check his website. It is too cool. It's got a lot of stuff on there. What about? Let's see. You said beach hopping. Well, you have the water system with the Agama water rescue system. Right. Is you will have that available for guys to purchase if they come in and if they're going to be beach hopping and stuff like that, or outlet hopping.
I sure hope so. I'm waiting for my next shipment. In fact, I've got four orders outstanding right now where they're waiting for them. I'm waiting for my next delivery. I import those from Czech Republic, from Nirvana, and I'm waiting for those to come in. They should be coming in very soon.
Okay.
And we typically have them in stock, but temporarily out of stock right now.
Yeah.
The events that we plan to do are, in addition to the cross-country, which would be a 17-mile, basically around the island of an island. The cross-country that we'll do for the navigation task will all be overland. So those of you that want to do the navigation task, it will be overland only. Those that want to do cross-country over water to Cayo Costa, to Gasparilla Island, to Boca Grande Pass, to Captiva, North Captiva, obviously that is it's a 4-mile over water trip with many little islands along the way that you can land on in case of an engine out. Typically, if you get 2,000 feet, then you've got more than enough altitude to get to any one of these little islands. And we usually have a boat ready to go and get people in the event that somebody's down in the water. We also understand that Eric DeFore's para-barge is going to make the trip.
Oh, great.
So that'll be in the water as well. We plan to also have the spot landing, foot drag, cloverleaf, if we can fit it in. Marty is going to be the master of ceremonies and judge for all the events, and any other of the events that we can hold based on space, time, weather, and the number of helpers we'll go ahead and put together.
Well, that's excellent. Is there a pre-registration, or just is there another charge if they actually just show up and at the event?
No, there is. It's the same charge. You do not have to pre-register. In fact, the Pine Island Airport here right off Fort Myers is open 365 days a year. So that's why we're able to put on 4 fly-ins per year. Mm-hmm. Many times people come early and they stay late, and that's okay too. As long as you pay the $30, then you get a month membership privilege at the airport. So a lot of folks come early and stay late. There's a number of bed and breakfasts and small hotels around the area. And there's a little Key West-like area called Mat Lache. They called it a little fishing village with a drinking problem.
okay.
On the way to Pine Island. And it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of other things to do. There's a charter boat that go out fishing all the time. There's a lot of art museums and local crafts and things like that. And the time really does stop when you're on the island. It's quite a bit different than anything else. If you haven't flown out there, I urge everybody to look at planetppg.com and look at the FAA sectional. And also, if you go to the info page, about us page, I should say, you'll see the map of the area. And there's lots and lots of things to do.
Oh, cool. Now, this is the second of the 4. Now, I know you say you have 4 fly-ins. The next one is what?
So the next fly-in after this one will be the 4th of July weekend. And those dates, you can go ahead and put that on your calendar, will be, it looks like it'll be the 3rd through the 5th of July.
Okay. And that's your that would actually be, let's see, your third fly. You have 4. You have end of the year.
We have 4 per year.
Okay.
And we've been at the airport for a year and a half now. And before that, we were having our fly-ins at other locations. You know, at this airport, it will be our 6th fly-in at this airport.
Excellent. That is cool. Okay. Guys, you got to definitely check out his website. Got a lot of information on there. I've been looking at some of the videos, these excellent videos. The webcam is really cool. Like that. That is really cool.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that because the other day, Wayne was mowing the grass out there with a tractor, and there were 600 people watching him live watch the grass.
Is that right?
The fly-in. That's right.
That's
during
great.
The fly-ins, typically we have in right around 6,000 folks looking from all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because the resolution's not good. I'll probably change the camera out before we have the fly-in.
Yeah.
This one has been out in the sun too long and it's gotten wet. But the students and everybody else that's flying, they're visible. So that while you're out there, you know, you could even tell your sweetie or whoever you want, hey, look, want to check us out, you know, just go to planetppg.com and you can look live on the webcam.
Okay. Well, excellent. Well, all right. I tell you what, we'll end it there. So, guys, make plans. If you can't make it to this one, I know we're getting this information out kind of late for the upcoming one, but go ahead and make definitely plans for the July 4th fly-in. And Well, Paul, thank you very much for coming on, and I'll get this posted pretty quick so the guys can hear this information. And
everybody fly safe and have fun.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, there you go, guys. I wanted to get that out there pretty quick. This fly-in's coming up pretty quick, March 27th through 29th. Go to planetppg.com for more information on the fly-in. His next fly-in, if you can't make this one, would be July 3rd through July the 5th. And like I said, go to the website. There are a lot of activities. If you don't want to fly all the time, there's all kind of stuff. Just checking out the information off his website. And we did get to talk more about the competition clinic that Pair Tour with Eric DeFore had a couple of weeks ago, which was the first time I talked to him, and he was actually on his way there. The MacGyver Minutes, I will have a first installment in the next podcast, and thank y'all very much for listening. Sorry it took so long to get this one out. Like I said, crazy, crazy schedule, work schedule. Thank y'all very much for listening. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio. Bye-bye.
Just like a dragonfly. I fly above the trees, over the seas, and on the breeze, but you're anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get away. I want to fly. Way, even miles, we could just be ours. Let's fade into the sun, let our spirit fly, cause we are one, just for a little fun. Oh, oh, oh yeah, I want to get away, I wanna fly away, yeah. I wanna fly.